Thank you, Marissa and Patrick, for that beautiful special music. It's a high Sabbath here, friends. We've got a message to hear from God's Word and then baptisms to follow and fellowship meal. Let's get right to it here. We're going to conclude our short series on the baptizer. Last week was part one. We covered John's story. We were unpacking it, and we focused on his birth, his diet, his dress, his purpose, his courage, and his question. And then we ended with six lessons from the baptizer's life. And let's just review those very quickly before we get to our message for today. Lesson number one, we too have a special diet. And that includes total abstinence from unclean animals and from alcohol. Additionally, we are to dress simply, reflecting our special calling as God's people. This would include dressing modestly and avoiding jewelry. Lesson number two, our purpose is the same as John's, to help people turn to God in repentance and be prepared to accept and follow Jesus Christ. He pointed people to Jesus' first coming. We are pointing people to Jesus' second coming. Lesson number three, we need to prepare our hearts to receive King Jesus by repenting of our sins, turning to him in love and obedience. Lesson number four, by God's grace, we need to reject the temptations of pride, selfishness, jealousy, rivalry, and envy. God calls us to be humble and unselfish. As the baptizer said clearly, which we emphasized last week, he must increase, but I must decrease. Lesson number five, we too need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, as John the Baptist was, and courageously speak the truth in love. And lesson number six, when we're struggling spiritually, it's okay to bring our questions to Jesus. And then watch and wait to see how he will answer. We will wait and see his encouraging and faith-affirming answer, just as he answered John the Baptist. Today, the baptizer part two, behold the Lamb. Let's pray one more time. Father in heaven, it's warm today. May we be focused right now on your word and what you want to say to us. Help us hear your voice today. May your spirit guide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 3. Luke what chapter? Chapter 3, if you got your device, open your device. Let's go to Luke chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 7. Luke chapter 3, verse 7. The Bible says, then he, which is talking about John the Baptist, said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him. Now, we're going to pause before we read what he said. The multitudes come out to be baptized. Where did baptism come from? We haven't seen baptism before in the Old Testament. This is a new religious rite or practice that is being mentioned in the New Testament. It is not mentioned in the Old Testament at all. So when did the Jews start to baptize? Well, I did some research about that this week. And here's what I found from the biblical scholars who wrote the Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary. And I put this in the study guide for you if you've got that from our Telegram group or from our email we sent out. Here's what they say. That John the Baptist was probably not the first to introduce the practice of baptism is evident from ancient sources. The Jews followed the practice of baptizing proselytes to Judaism. It is not certain when the practice was adopted, but it is highly probable that the baptism of proselytes dates from pre-Christian times. In other words, the Gentiles, when they wanted to convert to the Jewish religion, they would be baptized. And the Bible Dictionary adds this important detail. It, baptism, was also regarded as recapitulating one of the events that made Israel a nation, the passage through the Red Sea. You remember the story? Israel's there. They have nowhere to go. The Egyptian army's behind them. They've got to go forward or they're going to be captured and killed, taken back to slavery. God parts the Red Sea. They go on dry ground. The dictionary is saying baptism was regarded as recapitulating that event, and thus, along with circumcision and sacrifice, made the proselyte, the convert, a party to the same covenant in which natural Israelites were participants. So through baptism, they were becoming part of God's people. But notice this. When the baptizer was calling people to repent and be baptized, he was even calling the Jews and religious leaders to be baptized. Not just the Gentiles. He's talking to the Jewish people and the Jewish leaders. Again, the Bible commentary says this. Although the Jews recognized the validity of proselyte baptism, convert baptism, the rite was only for Gentile converts to Judaism. That John required it of the Jews themselves, even of their religious leaders, was the striking aspect of his baptism. Wow. So he's not just doing what other people had been doing. He's doing something new. The Jewish people, the religious leaders, are being called to repent and be baptized. And so with that historical context in mind, let's go back to Luke chapter 3, verse 7, where we started, and finish the verse. Then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, here's his words, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Wow. Have you heard a sermon like that before? Brood of vipers. Wow. Fiery language, strong language. And by the way, it's not politically correct language. Brood of vipers. The New International Reader's Version says it this way. You are like a nest of poisonous snakes. That's what John is telling them. Now, Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, a parallel account of this story mentions that John is specifically addressing the Pharisees and Sadducees when he makes this startling statement. Brood of vipers, you nest of poisonous snakes. John the Baptist spoke the truth, and in this particular situation, he's trying to wake up the religious leaders. And not only just the religious leaders, but probably the rest of the people who are listening to him as well. Now, before we criticize John for not being more diplomatic and politically correct, we need to take note that Jesus used almost the exact same words in Matthew 23. Please look at this in your own Bibles. Go to Matthew 23. Look it up in your devices. Matthew 23. In Matthew 23, Jesus repeatedly used very strong language addressing the scribes and the Pharisees, saying, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" He calls them blind guides even. And then Jesus used words almost identical to what the baptizer said in verse 33. Matthew 23, verse 33, he says, "Serpents! Brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell?" Wow. Strong words from Jesus. Strong words from John the Baptist. What is going on here? Why are they using this strong language? Well, Jesus spoke the truth, but he did it with love. Here's how Ellen White says it in her powerful little book, Steps to Christ. Jesus spoke the truth, but always in love. He denounced hypocrisy, unbelief, and iniquity. But notice this line, tears were in his voice as he uttered his scathing rebukes. Tears were in his voice. He loved those people. Why is he speaking strongly to them? Because he wants them to be saved. And that's exactly what she says in the last line of this quote. In all men, Jesus saw fallen souls whom it was his mission to save. Just like Jesus has a mission to save even the religious leaders and all people, so also John the Baptist has a mission to save all people. Calling them to repent, calling them to turn to God for forgiveness of their sins. So let's go back now to Luke chapter 3, where we started. John's words are strong, but we need to keep reading to see where he's going with these words. We read verse 7, let's go to verse 8 and 9. Therefore, John the Baptist says, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The baptizer says, bear fruit worthy of repentance. In other words, your actions will back up your words. Repentance means if you're going this direction and you repent, you're sinning, you repent, you turn around, you go the other way, you stop going that direction. The baptizer is saying lip service doesn't cut it. Saying the words, I repent or I'm sorry, should be accompanied with a change of behavior. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. And the people hearing John's message are impacted. And starting in verse 10 of Luke chapter 3, three different groups of people come to the baptizer and ask, well, what should we do? First, an unspecified group come to ask him, what should we do? In verse 11, the baptizer answers, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. This goes perfectly with the children's story. Thank you, Maria and Sirwan. Great story, giving food to help those in need. What can we do to help? That's what the baptizer says too. Have compassion on those in need. Put love into action. Give clothes, give food to those in need. Now we keep reading. Luke chapter 3, verse 12. Then tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? Oh, the tax collectors, the rich people, the greedy crooks are coming to get baptized. What does John the Baptist say to them? Verse 13, he said to them, collect no more than what is appointed for you. In other words, the baptizer told the tax collectors to be honest, fair, and have financial integrity. Don't cheat anyone. Don't cheat anyone, Jesus says. Then the third group comes. In verse 14, the Bible says, likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, well, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. In other words, he's telling them, don't use your authority in a wrong way in order to intimidate or to falsely accuse, including intimidating others in order to benefit financially. The people are amazed at the baptizer's preaching and teaching, and they wonder, could he be the Christ? Is he the one? And John answers that question in verse 16. Luke chapter 3, verse 16. I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. As I mentioned last week, John's purpose and mission was to point people to one mightier than himself. He wasn't there to point people to himself. He was there to point them to someone else. And notice John's humble attitude. He says he's not even worthy to loose the sandal strap of the Messiah. Can't even untie his shoes or tie his shoes. The humble yet powerful preacher gained popularity, as we mentioned last week, and the news spread all around the country about this new preacher who was calling people to repent and be baptized. And the news reached even Nazareth, where Jesus was living and working in the carpenter shop. And when Jesus heard the news of what John was doing, he knew it was time for him to go to, and so he takes a journey to go to the baptizer. And that's where we need to go pick up the story in Matthew chapter 3. We were in Luke 3, now we go to Matthew 3. Matthew 3, verses 13 to 15, the Bible says, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. John is struggling to understand this. But verse 15, Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. And then the baptizer allowed him. Again, please notice John's humble attitude. He knows he is a sinner, and he senses that Jesus is different. He is perfect. He is sinless. He is holy and divine. And John realizes that, he feels his own need to be baptized by Jesus. But Jesus says, no, no, that's not why I'm here. I'm here to be baptized by you. Have you thought about this before? Why did Jesus want to get baptized? John the Baptist is calling people to repent and be baptized. But did Jesus have any sin to repent of? No, he had no sin to repent of. So why should he get baptized? Here's one great explanation from the book Desire of Ages. Jesus did not receive baptism as a confession of guilt on his own account. It wasn't because of his own sin. But Desire of Ages says he identified himself with us, sinners, taking the steps that we are to take and doing the work that we must do. His life of suffering and patient endurance after his baptism was also an example to us. So why did Jesus get baptized? He was doing what we are supposed to do. He was an example for us, not only in being baptized, but also how he suffered and how he endured when he was tempted in the wilderness. And so Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 continues the story. When Jesus had been baptized, he came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This passage is so powerful because we see the Trinity present. God the Father is there. He speaks. announcing approval of his Son, Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is there descending upon Jesus in bodily form like a dove. This is such an important moment that the Trinity is present. Now please listen carefully to these words from Desire of Ages. The voice which spoke to Jesus says to every believing soul, this is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved child. These six people who came up to get baptized and share their vows today, the Father is saying this to them. These are my beloved children in whom I am well pleased. And then Ellen White continues, our Redeemer has opened the way so that the most sinful, the most needy, the most oppressed and despised may find access to the Father. All may have a home in the mansions which Jesus has gone to prepare. Can you say amen to that, friends? All may have a home in the mansions that Jesus has gone to prepare. He's made a way for us, for all of us. In fact, God the Father literally spoke those words to Jesus as our representative. When he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, Jesus was representing humanity, you and me. Imagine God saying these words to you. This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. When we come to God with repentance, asking for his grace and forgiveness, asking for help to resist temptation, God says, this is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. So John baptizes Jesus. The Father speaks. The Holy Spirit descends. And through all of this, Ellen White says that John recognized the token which God had promised. He knew that it was the world's Redeemer whom he had baptized. The Holy Spirit rested upon him, and with outstretched hand pointing to Jesus, he cried, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. That was John's mission and purpose, to prepare people to meet the Lamb of God. That's our mission and our purpose also, to point people to Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, and with an urgent call, point people to prepare for the second coming of Jesus. May our lives echo loudly to the collapsing world around us the words of the baptizer. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Is that your message, friends? Is that my message? Is that what we are saying in our lives, in our actions, in our words? Behold the Lamb of God. That's our mission, friends. That's our mission. So I want to give you one idea of how to do it. We've talked about helping the poor, helping those in need today. Yes, that is one way we can point people to the Lamb because we're showing them we care. Another way we can point people to the Lamb is by offering them the bread of life, the Word of God. Hey, friend, do you want to study the Bible? Do you want to get to know Jesus Christ? I'll study the Bible with you. I have friends who will study the Bible with you. Oh, it's Corona. You don't want to come to study the Bible with anybody in person? No problem. We have an online Bible school that anybody can study the Bible on for free. It's in Arabic. No excuse. It's in French. No excuse. It's in English and a dozen other languages. Just go to our Facebook page, click the link, you're there. You can do Bible studies on our webpage. Easy. Point people to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's our mission, friends. It was John the Baptist's mission. It's our mission. Let's remember this mission. Behold the Lamb of God. Amen.